Court of Appeals in and for the Seventh Judicial Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning.
Our first case of the day is 053199 United States versus Heinrich.
Good morning. My name is Paul Heinrich. I'm the defendant in this case, the appellant. I'm here representing myself. I'm also a licensed attorney in the state of Illinois. I practice traffic law in Kane County. I have no previous federal courtroom experience prior to this case, and I've never dealt with a Clean Water Act case before. This case has come before you on my appeal of the decision of the trial court, which entered an order requiring full restoration of a wetland that I had filled and payment of fines and costs, penalties as a result of that Clean Water Act violation. Although I'm no legal scholar, I do know that the law binds individuals as well as the government.
What restrictions did you think were on this property when you bought it?
There are significant restrictions for wetlands, both at federal and state levels. At the federal level, there's the Clean Water Act, which is modified or permits are allowed through the Corps of Engineers programs.
Half of this lake is state property, a state forest, isn't it?
That's correct. There's nothing that has absolutely no relevance to the issues at hand, though. There's a lot of property in this world that's next to state or federal property. Whether or not a private individual has rights with regards to his property because of its adjacency to state or federal property has nothing to do with this case. It's conceded that the wetlands in this case are adjacent to or are federally protected wetlands. The issue in this case is whether or not the Corps of Engineers issued a nationwide permit pursuant to the 1997 Corps Nationwide Permit Program that allowed the fill of wetlands to the extent that I did that. And under the circumstances here, Your Honor, the Corps of Engineers had found, after a substantial public hearing and notice, that the type of fill that I conducted had minimal or no impact on the aquatic environment. They made that finding after extensive public hearings, and there's nothing to indicate in the record to indicate that anything I did not comply with that, with those requirements. The court specifically found that I complied with Nationwide Permit Number 26. However, the court found that there was a requirement for an individual water quality certification from the state of Wisconsin. That requirement that the judge found appears nowhere in the law. There is no requirement. There was no requirement pursuant to the 1997 Nationwide Permit Program to obtain an individual water quality certification from the state of Wisconsin.
Now, you know, even assuming that Wisconsin officials had not specifically told you that the 97 version of the Nationwide Permit number 26 required an individual water quality certification, they did tell you generally that you would need a state water quality certification permit, right?
Generally, that's correct. And there's two ways that can occur.
Yeah, why did you build the road in the face of those warnings?
There was no warning. There's nothing in the record ever that shows that I was advised that I could not use the 1997 Nationwide Permit or that an individual water quality certification was required. You can ask Ms. Hergy that when she steps up here to address exactly where it was in the record that I was advised that the 1997 Nationwide Permit could not be used without an individual water quality certification. It's very important for this court to understand that on February 11th, 1997, the law changed. the law no longer required an individual water quality certification decision from the state of Wisconsin. The previous nationwide permit only required that because prior to the issuance of the 1992 nationwide permits, Wisconsin denied water quality certification decision for that nationwide permit program. The law changed on February 11, 1997. There was no longer a need for that individual permit.
Help me then with this, because the explanation of the nationwide permit process in 33 CFR 330.4 makes it very clear that individuals who are acting pursuant to a nationwide permit may still need to obtain individual state water quality certifications. And wouldn't that trigger an obligation by an individual who intends to rely on a nationwide permit to inquire whether a water quality certification is a condition precedent to an activity that's authorized by nationwide permit?
The court regulations addresses instances in that situation. The court regulation states that the Corps of Engineers has the duty to take reasonable methods to inform the public of what states and regions require individual water quality certification decisions prior to the use of the nationwide permit. In this case, Judge, no effort whatsoever was made to inform the public or myself that an individual water quality certification decision was necessary prior to using that nationwide permit. It's the core regulations that bind this court. It's the core regulations that issued the permits. It's the core regulations that it's the Corps itself that was the applicant for the nationwide permit. I wasn't. It's the Corps that did this. The Corps' regulations that are published, the published laws, say that if the Corps does not advise you that an individual water quality certification is required for this particular reason, then you can presume it's waived. And in this instance, Judge, because the state of Wisconsin did not issue a state water quality certification prior to the effective date of the nationwide permits, Corps regulations require that the Corps deem the water quality certification waived for those nationwide permits. And that's what happened in this case. However, the Corps of Engineers, in a letter of April 30th, 1997, to a secret letter that was never published to the Secretary of State of Wisconsin, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources in Wisconsin, said, well, we're going to cover this up by telling the people that apply for a nationwide permit that they need an individual water quality certification decision.
Did you raise your argument that the Corps' April 30th, 1997 letter to Wisconsin is subject to the Administrative Procedures Act in district court?
Yes, I did. If you'll note in my footnote to the response to my motion for to the government's response for partial summary judgment, I indicated that when I referenced that April 30th Corps letter to the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, that the Corps of Engineers did not have the discretion to act in that way. Using the words acting without discretion implies administrative procedure review.
Can you talk a little bit about this form that indicated you were going to build a logging road? Tell us about that.
There's more than one issue here that's not clear in the law. The individuals.
What's clear is that this was never going to be a logging road. It was going to be a road.
No,
seaplane.
That's not
back to the hangar.
I know it's not perfectly clear that in the law that you can't use something you use for a logging road for other purposes. And throughout this entire process, I intended to use the logging road for seaplane access. There's no question about that. I never denied that. The issue is that the correspondence between the Corps of Engineers and myself indicated that it doesn't matter. The director of or the regional director at Minneapolis sent me a letter saying it's established that legitimate forest roads can be used in the future for other purposes, and that's exactly what I did. Whether or not it was a commercial logging operation, obviously it's not. obviously my intent was only to obtain access to the lake sufficient to clear the airplane's wings. But that's not before this court. Those issues are not before the court. That was withdrawn according to the findings of the trial court. When I told Mike O'Keefe, or when I wrote him a letter saying that I withdraw my application for an individual permit. So they all considered that aspect of it was dead. The fact that I raised the issue in the trial court is just an initial defense. It doesn't exclude the other defenses of the nationwide permit. It's not something that should prejudice the court. In particular, the district court's finding that they repeatedly warned me what I was doing was illegal is not true. There's nothing in the court file. There's nothing in the record that indicates that anybody said that this is an illegal action. They said, well, it's our opinion that we don't think that this is proper. That's not the same thing as saying it's illegal. And under the circumstances, I think that had that been the issue before this court, whether or not a Forest Road exemption would apply to this aspect, I think that this court would be appropriate to...
You're well into your rebuttal time, you realize.
That's fine.
Carry on.
Thank you for the advice. I think under the circumstances, if the issue was before this court was whether or not the Forest Road was proper, I think you had the right, the court would have the right to defer to the opinions of the Corps agents or the DNR agents. In this case, there was never a finding or advice by the Corps or the state that I did not have or could not use Nationwide Permit 26 to do my fill. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
My name is Leslie Hergy. I'm an assistant United States attorney from the Western District of Wisconsin. Seated at council table is Ignacio Arazola, who's a special assistant United States attorney on this case. The facts in this case are important when looking at the law. It's the United States put a detailed summary of the facts in the brief, but I just wanted to touch a few highlights that the court did question. We're here today because on December 12, 1996, Mr. Heinrich wanted to build a 500-foot-long seaplane access road through his wetland. He called the DNR, asked if he needed permits for that. The DNR said, yes, you need 401 water quality certification and federal permits. He then asked the Corps, do I need permits for that? The Corps said, yes. Thereafter, Mr. Heinrich decided, because he didn't think he was going to get water quality certification, he would claim an exemption. And he claimed that his road, as opposed to a seaplane access road, was going to be an exempt forest road. That's the position that he maintained thereafter until this suit was filed.
Did the government ever attempt to personally serve Heinrich?
With the administrative compliance order, it did not, Your Honor. EPA served Heinrich with a compliance order by mail. And Mr. Heinrich did challenge essentially some aspects of what the order contained, but did not challenge the mode of service. If he had challenged the mode of service, that could have easily been cured. And so it's the United States' position that he wasn't prejudiced by the failure of EPA to serve him with that order personally. As far as water quality certification goes, the Corps has the authority to issue general permits, for example, called nationwide permits or individual permits. In this case, Heinrich claims that his project was authorized by Nationwide Permit 26. However, both 401A1 of the Clean Water Act, the Corps regulations, as this court has noted, and the Nationwide Permit Federal Register Notice makes water quality certification a precondition to the issuance of the Clean Water Act permit. If the state denies water quality certification, the state that nationwide permit is not effective. It cannot be relied on to do the work. In this particular case, there's no dispute that Heinrich obtained water quality certification, period. All he can do is claim the state must have waived, or, in fact, this court should affirm the district court's finding that Mr. Heinrich committed performed his project in violation of the Clean Water Act. In looking at whether or not Mr. Heinrich had a water quality certification. The language of 401 is critical in analyzing this. The language of 401A1 says if the state fails or refuses to act on a request for certification within a reasonable period of time after receipt of such request, its certification requirements of this subsection shall be waived with respect to such federal certification. In the December 13, 1996, Nationwide Permit Public Notice, it provided the states with 60 days to provide their water quality certification on the nationwide permits. Wisconsin, or the regional district of the Corps, the St. Paul district, did on January 2nd send a letter to the Secretary of the DNR and asked it to take a final position on those nationwide permits. On January 3rd, 1997, the record shows that the Corps St. Paul district office issued a public notice that again advised the public, and I quote, that a state Section 401 water quality certification or waiver is required for the nationwide permits that result in a discharge in waters of the United States. The record shows that Wisconsin acted on the Corps' request. It submitted its water quality certification decision to the Corps of Engineers on February 11, 1997. It was signed by the Secretary of the DNR, and it's evident that the state had no intention on waiving its right to water quality certification. The Corps treated that decision as timely. On April 30th, it's true that the Corps treated certain conditions of the state's water quality decision as a denial without prejudice, but all that really had no practical effect on Mr. Heinrich. If it denied water quality certification for nationwide permit on February 11th, or if in fact the Corps treated the state's entire certification as a denial without prejudice, the effect is the same. Mr. Heinrich needed individual water quality certification. He, in fact, was informed of that on his property on May 20th, 1997. The record shows the Corps of Engineers was on site. The state DNR was on site. He admitted that he was told he needed water quality certification to put in a 500-foot-long seaplane access through his wetland. Mr. Heinrich did not start that work until August 1997. He received actual notice that he needed water quality certification. He's trying to say that there's this difference between, you know, in the Corps saying individual water quality certification versus water quality certification, but that's a red herring. Either for nationwide permits or 404 permits, you need state water quality certification, period. And he was informed of that. Essentially, Congress...
You continue to argue that federal courts lack authority to review state 401 water quality certification decisions.
Yes, Judge Rovner.
Well, let's assume you're correct. Would there be any remedy for an individual who was accused in a federal court of failing to obtain such a WCQ or a WQC, rather, in a situation where the state's WQC's decision is plainly unlawful?
Well, Your Honor, I believe this goes to essentially what the effect of 401A1 is. And essentially, it gives the state the veto authority over the Corps' right to issue a 404 permit. And in this particular case, Mr. Heinrich did challenge that decision in state court, and it was subsequently dismissed. Your question is, what right would the court have? I think the court has the right under 401A1 to see was it timely. Perhaps under the APA, did the Corps abuse its discretion in accepting it as timely? Is it, in fact, what the Corps claims it is, a water quality certification? But as far as whether or not the state complied with substantive and procedural state law in issuing that water quality certification, I believe the decisions out there indicate that that's something that's best left for the states as opposed to federal courts.
Let me ask you something, Ms. Merger. I'm sorry, Hershey.
That's all right.
Does requiring full restoration of Mr. Heinrich's land seem unduly harsh when his activity is admittedly the type that's contemplated by the nationwide permit program to have a minimal impact?
Your Honor, thank you for asking that question. In this particular case, the particular nationwide permit issue was controversial. As opposed to the other nationwide permits, it was only issued for a period of 2 years because there was some concern out there in the public comments regarding the impact of Nationwide Permit 26. To say that just because the Corps found it minimally effective would essentially override what the state's rights are under 401A1, which is to decide whether or not that nationwide permit should issue at all. And in the state of Wisconsin, they decided no. Otherwise, essentially, if the court were to hold that, it would say that if an impact of a permit is minimal, then essentially there is no harm and there would be no remedy for a court for that violation. The states are a partner under the Clean Water Act and they have a right to decide whether or not that permit issues. In this particular case, the evidence at trial showed that this is a big problem in northern Wisconsin where there is lake access issues. And the cumulative impacts of all of these small violations cumulatively have a big impact. At trial, it also showed that essentially this was surrounded by a state forest area that allowing invasive species was problematic. The court also looked at essentially the 309D penalty factors, and the court weighed those factors and decided that Mr. Heinrich lacked good faith, that he had a reasonable ability to pay, and he imposed a civil penalty. The court found that Mr. Heinrich, although it's not an issue in this case, used the forest road exemption pretextually because he didn't like the answer that he got from the state and federal government, which was he needed 401 water quality certification and he wasn't likely to get that. Despite those warnings, he proceeded, moved forward, and built it anyway. So I believe the record shows that the court clearly did not abuse its discretion when it ordered full restoration of the wetland and imposed a penalty on Mr. Heinrich. Unless the court has any further questions.
I might have missed it. It might be there. Does the record tell us the cost of full restoration? I understand there's the $75,000 fine, right. But on top of that, there's...
I don't know if in the record before the court, I believe there was an estimate that it was between $20,000 and $30,000. I know there are some issues relating to restoration, but those aren't before this court. In fact, Mr. Heinrich did fail to comply with those orders, and the court subsequently sanctioned him for that. The United States, in conclusion, asks this court to affirm the June 17, 2005 judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hershey. Okay, Mr. Heinrich, 4 minutes left.
Thank you. The government overstates and misstates the facts throughout this case. They state that the Corps of Engineers did not grant a permit for the spill. That's not true. Mike O'Keefe, the Corps agent, did not grant an individual Corps permit for the spill. Did not grant an individual Corps permit for the spill. The Corps of Engineers, on a nationwide basis at the Corps headquarters level, issued a nationwide permit which authorized this spill. The government's argument that I was warned that I couldn't place this fill ignores two things. One, they were talking about a forest road exemption issue. Secondly, they ignore the fact that the law changed. Okay? What the government told me in December of 1996 has nothing to do with this case because the law changed. What the government told me about a forest road exemption doesn't apply to this case because that issue is not before the court. The only issue before the court is whether or not Nationwide Permit 26 applied and whether or not the state or the federal government advised the public or myself that an individual water quality certification, not a general water quality certification, was required for this fill permit. The government suggests that the state has veto authority over federal permits. That's absolutely correct. There are steps that the Corps of Engineers has set forth which require the states to follow in order to exercise that veto authority. The state in this case failed to follow the federal law, they failed to follow their own state law, and they failed to announce or to advise anyone of their decision. The same thing with the Corps of Engineers. They have their own rules and regulations which they must follow. They're not bound by the general language of the Clean Water Act that says reasonable time. They are bound by their own regulations that said, we will consider water quality certification waived if we don't receive the final water quality certification before February 11, 1997. They did not receive water quality certification decision, a final water quality certification decision, before that time.
Before you sit down, you haven't mentioned this personal service issue. Are you abandoning that, or?
No, Your Honor. The issue, it goes to the whole thing here, Judge. The government, as I set forth in my briefs, did not follow a single law.
Well, but on the
from the start
service,
of this case,
on the personal service matter, I mean, you were back and forth fighting this thing, and I don't know how there was any prejudice here if there was no personal service. And maybe you want to comment on that before your red light goes on.
I'm not contesting the fact that there is no prejudice in the sense that that they should not be able to proceed on that aspect of it. However, what I am saying is that it's the general conduct of the EPA and the Corps of Engineers and the government in our nation now is to put themselves above the law, because they know that appellate courts are inclined to give them great deference, that they're going to struggle to find a way to uphold the trial court's decision if they can, or to protect the environment if they can. It creates a monster. That it creates a society where people don't.
The purpose of the law is to protect the environment. So if
absolutely, the law is, the Clean Water Act is designed to protect the environment, and the Corps of Engineers is also in charge of issuing permits that don't affect the environment, and that's what happened in this case. They issued the permit. I followed the permit. The government did not follow the law on any aspect of this case. They didn't file. They didn't serve the administrative compliance order. The state didn't follow their state rules and regulations. The Corps of Engineers didn't follow their rules and regulations. Yet the government is asking. They didn't even tell people their decision, but the government is asking that a person who followed the written law, the law that is in the books that you can go to at your library and say, this is what the law is, they're trying to tell you, oh, well, you know, you should have known something was secretly passed between one agency and another, and that's wrong. And if for this court to uphold that kind of conduct, it encourages them to continue to do that thing, and that is an affront to the American society. You can't have a rule of law that only some people are bound by. I'm not a legal scholar, and you can tell by my legal writing I'm not very good at this. I do traffic law, but the principles that are at stake in this case are profound. It affects not just me. It doesn't affect the people of Wisconsin. It affects our entire nation and the way our nation is viewed by other countries. If our government is above the law,
no, your time expired some time ago.
You may finish your thought.
Thank you. If the government is above the law, then this is a lawless country, and we can't have that. And I'd ask that this court reverse the trial court's decision and enter an order that there is no basis in fact or in law for the government's position that I did not have a valid nationwide permit.
Thank you, Mr. Heinrich. All right, Mr. Heinrich and Ms. Hergé, the case will be taken under advisement, and we thank